Welcome to The Right Moment, a podcast by Tag Heuer, where we talk about topics that bring us together and inspire us. We meet visionaries from Tag Heuer and LVMH to uncover insights, challenges, advice, and defining moments that have shaped professional journeys. This is a new adventure that you can discover each month with episodes in French or English. From personal development to entrepreneurship, including corporate social responsibility and watchmaking. This is where we create the right moments to discuss about topics that matter. I am Kim Kassa, Talent Development Manager, your host for the episodes in English. And this is The Right Moment. To all of you listening to this episode, I'd like you to do something. Close your eyes and picture a watchmaker. You got it? Now, what comes to your mind? Well, let's be honest. I'm quite sure that for many of you, it's an older gentleman, likely with gray hair, hunched over a workbench with a loop firmly in place. And while we deeply respect the master watchmakers who have dedicated their lives to this craft, how about we shatter that stereotype a little bit? In today's episode, let's discuss and connect with the new generation of watchmaking. Because yes, for too long, watchmaking has been perceived as a sort of closed world, steeped in tradition and inaccessible to those outside of certain circles. But the reality is actually different. Their demand for skilled watchmakers is growing, and the industry needs fresh perspectives, innovative ideas, and a new wave of passionate and diverse artisans to carry the torch forward. In this context, LVMH and Tag Heuer have invested in watchmaking education to ensure that the skills and knowledge required to preserve this art are passed on to future generations. And actually, it's much more than just preserving the tradition. It's about building a more inclusive and dynamic future for the industry. Everything started back in 2016 in the workshops of the Tag Heuer manufacturer in Switzerland, where the first LVMH watchmaking school was created to welcome 12 students. The objective, on one hand, was to promote watchmaking heritage and artisan traditions of LVMH watchmaking, and on the other hand, the innovative avant-garde spirit of Tag Heuer. Inspired by this successful model, other similar structures have been built around the world in Germany, in the US, and soon in Japan. In the US, we started our apprenticeship program just last year in 2024. Our first cohort, we had two graduates and one successfully joined us permanently. And this year's cohort in 2025, two students are on track to graduate in December. We are currently in recruitment for our 2026 cohort, where we will bring on two more aspiring watchmakers. So if you thought watchmaking was just for old white men with gray hair, think again. And to help you create a new picture in your mind, let's welcome now one of our watchmaker apprentices based here in the US, Wally Pichardo. Welcome, Wally. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So can you start us off by briefly introducing yourself for those who are listening to us?
So my name is Wally Pichardo, and I'm currently a watchmaker's apprentice at Tag Heuer. And I've been an apprentice since the beginning of 2025. And it's been a very unique learning experience, I would say.
Awesome. Well, welcome again. And earlier in this episode, I've mentioned some stereotypes that often are linked to the image of a watchmaker. Was it also something that you had in mind before you started in this industry?
Yeah, 100%. I would definitely say that was a big stereotype that was in my head when I had the interview and even coming into the building for the first time. I always imagined like a watchmaker, like in a not like a shed, but like, you know, some like very old school place, an old man just working. But my perspective definitely changed coming into the building. Like everything was super modern. Like it looked, everybody had lab coats on. So it was a very different change or perspective that I got. And also a lot of women work here as well, which surprised me because of the stereotype. I was thinking that it would only be men or like older men, but there's a wide range, like a lot of variety in the people that work here.
That's awesome. So how did you spark your initial interest in watchmaking? Was there a specific person, watch, or an event that inspired you?
It's a funny question. I would say it was an event. I didn't have a job and I was looking for a job. And it was actually my mom that was helping me look for a job. And she suggested this to me and I applied for the position. Well, actually, in my initial interview that was through Zoom, a question that they asked me was if I work with my hands or like any small parts or anything. And I play video games like a lot of other people out in the world. And a lot of times your controller gets messed up or breaks or something. And a lot of times when that happens, instead of buying a new one, I would just open it up and fix it myself. When they asked that question in the interview, I mentioned that. And, you know, they said that'd be a good skill to have because we do work with a lot of small parts here. And what actually caught my interest, like when I was like, oh, I want to work here, was when I had my in-person interview and I had the test to get through the interview. Just going around the building, seeing all the workers and just seeing how everything looked was super cool to me. Like it looked like a mixture of an office and like a hospital because everybody had all these white lab coats on. So I just thought it was really cool.
That's great. I think that's also such a unique experience, but one that we are able to share with a lot of our new employees. They're not quite sure what to picture when they walk into our sort of manufacturing, sort of office environment. So that combination really sparks a conversation as well as gets people excited, I think. So it's nice to hear from your perspective as someone coming from outside of the industry. Can you describe, now that you've had almost a full year experience in our watchmaking school, what has your experience been like so far and what's been your favorite part?
It's been a lot of learning, new experiences, and trying to overcome a lot of hurdles. You know, learning new things, you're not always going to be good at it. So I had to come to terms to that. So a lot of failure and a lot of repetition. So far in the year, I would say my favorite thing that we've done is we had a competition against Tiffany & Co. where we had to create a watch around a specific theme, and that theme for this year was Kenzo. And we had to create the watch and present it. And I'd say the presentation of our hard work that we did for like, it was around 3 months, that's been my favorite part, since it was very unique and different compared to everything that we do here.
And from your experience, has it changed from beginning to more recent in terms of the teachings and the learnings?
No, I'd say it's been very consistent. My teacher currently is Eric. He's a watchmaker here and, you know, he's a very good teacher. And since the beginning, he's been very thorough and everything. And so far, you know, it's been good.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as being potentially a challenge or even an opportunity if we were to bring you on permanent?
A challenge? I'd say keeping up with everybody else, definitely, since a lot of the watchmakers here have been watchmakers for almost as long as I've been alive. So they definitely have their routine and the groove they get into, and they get a lot of work done throughout the day. And that's something that I'm striving to accomplish as well. So definitely trying to keep up with them and just get better at my craft.
How has your connection been with the more senior watchmakers?
Very amicable. Everybody here is very nice, very approachable. Like everybody always has a smile on their face. So yeah, very helpful as well. Like you can go and ask literally anybody in the building and they'll help you out as best as they can. If they can't help you, they'll refer you to somebody else that can.
Great. And how can we encourage more young people to appreciate the history and heritage of watchmaking?
I would say, from my perspective, I never really gave a thought to watches. I just thought it was something like materialistic, which, I mean, it is, but it has a very rich background and everything. But something that opened my eyes up to it was seeing like the inner workings of a watch and how everything works and is put together. I see it like like when you open up a movement and you're working on it or dismantling it, it's kind of like a car engine. And just imagining how people back in the day had to create all these small, tiny pieces and fit it into a very small case is kind of crazy, especially back then. So I would say maybe like creating YouTube videos or something to spark the, because the younger generation, they're all like online and they watch a lot of videos. So maybe creating like videos showing like the inner workings of a watch and seeing how everything is put together. That's something that really piqued my interest when I first started here. So maybe it might pique others as well.
Ooh, I love that. And what advice would you give to someone who's considering a career in watchmaking?
I guess once you find a career in it, stick to it. And like I said earlier, there's going to be a lot of failures. Well, that's with everything in life, but you're not going to be great at it right away. So just keep showing up every day and practicing over and over again. And sooner or later, you're going to get better. For example, like when I first started in January, I had a very hard time like taking off like bezels, and that would take me like minutes to do it, and I'd get really frustrated. But now I could do it in like 2 seconds, super easy without like a second thought. So, I mean, obviously that came with a lot of months experience. So just showing up every day and practicing over and over again, you're going to get better at it. I had zero watchmaking experience, and that actually worked out in my favor, since Tag Heuer was looking for people with zero watchmaking experience. So yeah, like especially during my interview, there was another person there that had a lot of experience. I was like in the wrong environment. I'm like, oh, this person knows everything about watches. I have zero knowledge of it. So I didn't really expect to get the job, but when I did, I was really excited and grateful for it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure it goes to show as well that you're coachable and really trainable. And that's a nice sentiment that not everyone entering the watchmaking field has to have some grand background. You really can kind of start from scratch and build your way up. I think that's one of the big highlights of the apprenticeship, as you mentioned, is we're really there to teach you and show you the way forward. Thanks for joining me today, Wally. I really appreciated learning more about your background and also your experience with us in the apprenticeship. And I hope to hear more from you soon.
All right. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure speaking to you, and hope you have a great rest of your day.
Before we wrap up, let's take a question from one of our listeners. How about the place of women in the watchmaking industry? How can the watchmaking industry become more inclusive and attract not only younger generations, but also more women? Well, if we take our US workshop, for example, out of 18 people, 7 are women. We are quite proud that we have a strong female representation and, of course, are always aiming to maintain and grow inclusivity within our workshop. From those I've spoken to, there doesn't seem to be the same stereotype in the watchmaking industry as there is in other repair industries. That stereotype being that you need to be a big, muscular man to be a car mechanic or something along those lines. Anyone, no matter their sex, size, shape, or color, can sit behind the watchmaking bench and hold a pair of tweezers and screwdrivers where they're all suddenly equalized. For consideration to further attract female and younger generations, I think we can and we should share the stories of previous watchmakers, especially the female ones. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Right Moment, a podcast by Tag Heuer. We hope you feel inspired. Once again, I'd like to thank our guests for joining us. If you have any questions, feel free to send them to us at the email address therightmoment@tagheuer.com, and we'll answer as many as possible next time. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. It really makes a difference. We'll be back in no time with another episode of The Right Moment in English or French. See you soon.